All right. You go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis. Genesis chapter 5. Take a few minutes this afternoon to look at the life of Noah here, just a little bit before the flood, and just kind of see what kind of a man that he was. So, but first, we're going to start with Enoch and go from there. So if you look at Genesis chapter 5 and look at verse 24. The Bible says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, now that you'd help me. And I pray, Lord, that you'd just guide and direct in this message, Father. And I pray, Lord, that your will be accomplished. Well, thank you for that. And we love you in your name. Amen. We don't know a whole lot about Enoch, except for that he was a man that walked with God, and that he walked so close with God that God saw fit to take him to heaven. He translated him. Enoch never saw death. Enoch was a man of faith, and he was also a prophet of judgment. And we see those two aspects of Enoch's life in Hebrews and in Jude. After Enoch's translation to heaven, we see that the corruption of man on the earth was continually getting worse. And God, he sees man's choices, and that the thoughts of men were only evil continually. Read with me in chapter 6 and look at verse 1, and it says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." We see that now that man has multiplied on the earth, and as the population grew, that the sons of God, they saw the daughters of men, and they took them wives, and they bare children, and the offspring became mighty men, and men of renown. But God was not impressed by this. God saw everything that he had made, and saw how man had corrupted it. God was going to erase everything that he created, because he could no longer allow man to continue to corrupt his design. But we come to verse 8, where it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And I want us to look a little bit at why. Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, first, Noah was a man that walked with God. Verse 9, it says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." I think, it's my opinion, that it's very likely that even though Noah may have never known Enoch, or if he did, it would have only been for a very short time, that Enoch was influenced, or that Noah was influenced by Enoch. Noah is the great grandson of Enoch, and you know, we look at Enoch. He was a man that walked with God. We look at Methuselah. It doesn't say much about Methuselah. And then we look at Lamech. It doesn't say much about Lamech. So there's a gap there where there's no one who is walking with God. We come to Noah, and he was a man that walked with God. And I believe it was because of the influence of Enoch. But what is the characteristic of someone that walks with God? In verse 9, it gives us two things about Noah. He was a just man. The definition, I looked up the Hebrew word, and I'm not going to bore you with any of that, but the definition of that word means right, correct, justified by God. In God's eyes, Noah was a man who was right. He was right in his direction, and he was a man that God had put a stamp of approval on. When God looks for his servants, he is looking for those who are right and correct in their direction. He is looking for those who are not double-minded or have no direction. He is looking for those who are seeking after God. Noah, he was a man who was just. He was a man that God, when he looked down, he said, there's a man who's going the right direction. There's a man that's seeking after me. He's not following the world. Noah, he made sure that there was a clear distinction between him, the direction he was going, and the world. He did not mix them. Noah was a just man. He was also perfect. And the definition of this word means entire morally. Without blemish, he was undefiled. Noah was also a man that had not allowed himself to be influenced by the world. He was morally sound, undefiled by the world. The application for us is that we must also strive to put off the world and to put on Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 22. The Bible says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We will never be perfect in the sense that we will be without sin. That will only come when we reach heaven and God changes us from this body to a perfect body. But we can be perfect in our attitude towards God. David was a man whose heart was perfect towards God. Yet we know he was far from sinless. Having a perfect heart towards God means that we will always be looking to please our Savior. We will always ask forgiveness when we fail. When all our needs are met, we will give Him thanks. When we are weak, we will look to Him for strength. Having a perfect heart towards God means we are striving to become ever closer to Him. And when God takes us home, that is when He will make us perfect in every aspect. I'm looking forward to that day. Because I tell you, helping Mike these last couple of weeks and doing some of this tile this last weekend, man, my back is killing me, hauling those boxes of tile. It's like, oh, but hey, when we get to heaven, we're not going to have to worry about that anymore. No more pain or suffering. Everything will be perfect. That will be a great day. But amidst the corruptness, the immorality that was going on in Noah's day, he remained a just and perfect man. Now, I will never claim to know everything, but for my studies in the Bible, there's no other mention of anybody else who is standing for God at this time. Noah was the only one. Now, there may have been others before the flood, and they died before the flood, perhaps. I don't know. But for my study, Noah was the only man who walked with God. Can you imagine how difficult that would be for us? If you were the only person to walk with God, you know, I don't think I could do it. I think I would just fall into the world's ways. I think if I were in Noah's position, that God would have wiped man off the face of the earth completely and started over. I don't think any of us would be here today if I were the one in that position. But Noah was a man. He stood strong. He walked with God. He made a clear distinction between his walk with God and the ways of the world. I want us to also see that Noah, he walked with God, but he also followed God's instructions. Look at verse 14 of Genesis chapter 6. It says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die." Here, God instructed Noah to build an ark. He gave specific instructions. And Noah, he followed those. For us today, that application can be made that God has given us specific instructions in how to live our lives. And that is found in God's Word. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Look at chapter 3. It's a very familiar passage to us. 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." God has given us His Word. He has given us instruction how to live our lives. We must follow it daily. God expects His children to follow His instructions. And His ways are higher than ours. His plan is always better, and He is always right. In Noah's day, man did not follow after God, but rather they followed their hearts, their lusts, and their desires. They did what they wanted to do, and they gave no thought to God. Their only thought was evil continually. So we see that Noah, he followed God's design, followed God's instruction. And in this, he didn't attempt his own design. Genesis chapter 7, verse 5 says, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." When God gave Noah the design of the ark, Noah didn't take those plans and try to come up with a better design. He didn't look at God's plan as a general guideline and then make his own modifications. He followed God's specific design and did not stray from God's plan. Even though we may never fully understand God's design or His plans for our lives, we can always be sure that God's design and plan is perfect and nothing can be better for our lives. Though we may often fail and get outside of God's plan, He will always be willing to restore us. We must never make our own design or try to modify God's design. And at the music conference that we had here recently, we heard this several times, but it is so true. Anything outside of God's design is designed to fail. And we can look at examples in the Bible. We can see at the Tower of Babel, God said to go into all the earth, but all the people said, "No, let's stay here, build this tower unto the heavens." And God said, "No, that's not going to happen. That's not my plan. That's going to fail." We also see when David, he came up with his own plan to take the ark back to Jerusalem. That plan failed, and it resulted in the death of a man. When we try to change God's design, we're going to fail every time. Anything outside of God's design is designed to fail. So we see that Noah walked with God, and we see that he followed God's instructions. But Noah, he also preached God's message. Turn with me to 2 Peter. Look at chapter 2 and verse 5. Says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah, he preached God's message. He was a preacher of righteousness. Although we don't necessarily know the specific message that Noah preached, we know he preached righteousness. From the Greek word used in the passage, we know that his message was that of integrity, virtue, purity of life. It was rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. In other words, he preached about God and what God expects from man. We as Christians must also be preachers of righteousness, verbally and also by the way that we live. You know, our talk is meaningless if we do not walk the talk. If we go to work and we talk to the guys there at work about Jesus and about the gospel and how they need to be saved, but yet we act like them, we live like them, they don't see a difference, it's not going to mean anything to them. They say, ah, that's just something you guys do on Sunday and Wednesdays, I don't need that, you're no different than I am. No, we need to walk the talk. Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness, but he was also a man of faith. You know, you think about it, it had never rained on the earth before. There were no floods. No one knew what rain was. And, you know, Noah, he was no exception to that. He didn't know what rain was. He had never seen it. But God told him it would rain and it would flood. And Noah believed God. And immediately he began to build the ark that God had designed. Noah was a man that followed the light that was given to him. And God blessed him and his family for it. We must also trust God and follow the light that he has given. You know, we have more light today than any Old Testament or New Testament Christian did. We have the completed Word of God. We have no excuse for having little faith. Our faith should be greater, but often it's less. It is so much harder for us to have faith in God. You know, I was reading an article probably a week or two ago. A mountain climber, he was, I don't know what they call it. He was climbing without any ropes or anything, and he was going along, and his preacher had said on Sunday, when you get into a tough spot, just let go and let God. Well, this mountain climber, he's 200 feet up in the air, and he got to a tough spot on the rock, and he said, that verse came to mind, and so I just let go and let God. Well, that was stupid. He fell and broke almost every bone in his body. He survived it, but that's not faith. That's stupidity. Faith is clinging to God and to his truth and trusting him that he's going to carry through what he says he will do. It's not a blind leap into the dark. Faith is seeing what God has given us and trusting it. So we see that Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness and he was a man of faith. Turn with me to Hebrews 11:5. We're going to take a quick look back to Enoch. This description that we have here of Noah, it helps us to better understand what kind of man that Enoch was. Enoch was a man that walked with God, as did Noah. Look at verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Then Jude, verse 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So we see that Enoch, he was a man that walked with God. And we can assume that Enoch had all of these same characteristics that Noah did. So we have Enoch. And then there's no other mention of a righteous man or a man that walked with God until Noah. And this could be have been several hundred years that man was without a preacher of righteousness. I believe that this was the beginning of the punishment that was coming. We see that things had finally come to a head when the sons of God mingled with the daughters of men. If you look with me back at verse 1 of chapter 6 of Genesis. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Here, when it's talking about the sons of God saw the daughters of men, I don't know who the sons of God, who that's specifically speaking of. I know there's some debate on it. The Bible doesn't ever say clearly, and, you know, that's fine. I'm not going to try to figure that out at this time in this message. You know, we can talk about that later if you want. I have no idea really who that is specifically speaking of. But the sons of God mingled with the daughters of men. And the offspring from these women, the Bible says that they became mighty men and men of renown. But it is when this happened that we see the earth becoming more and more wicked. Why was that? C.H. McIntosh, he wrote a book, Notes on Genesis. A few things that he said about this were very interesting to me. He said, "The mingling of that which is of God with that which is of man is a special form of evil and a very effectual engine in Satan's hand for marring the testimony of Christ on the earth." He goes on to say, "If we look at it in the light of God's presence, we cannot possibly imagine that an advantage is gained when the people of God mingle themselves with the children of this world or when the truth of God is corrupted by human admixture. Separation from all evil is God's principle, and this principle can never be infringed without serious damage to the truth." Today, really the point of this message is that judgment, I believe, came as a result when that which was of God mingled with that which was of the world. Why is it that Christians are not having an influence today? It's because we are trying to mix God and the world. We are mixing the holy and the profane. We can't do that. We must ask God to forgive us. We must ask Him to make us whole. We can't be blurring the lines any longer. We must be like Noah. We must make a clear distinction between our walk with God and the world. We can't be walking that line. The more we walk that line, the more we blur the lines for the unsaved. They see us and they say, "You're no different. You really don't believe what you say. That's just your Sunday club." Well, I have my Sunday club with the snowmobiling or you name it, whatever. We do our thing, you do your thing. We can no longer blur this line. God expects holiness from His children. There is a clear, definite distinction between holiness and worldliness. And we can't be responsible for blurring that line so that those around you cannot see Christ. God wants you to be the Noah of today. But He has left that choice up to you. What will your choice be? Are you going to continue to try to walk as close to that line as you can? try to have 1 foot in the world, 1 foot for Christ, it's not going to work. You're either going to be in the world or you're going to be going towards Christ. Noah, he wasn't looking at the world and wishing he was over there. He had his back turned to the world and he had his face towards Christ. We must be looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's not walk the line anymore. Let's walk close to Jesus. Let's follow His Word. That's when we will make the biggest difference. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time. Pray, Lord, that You would just use Your Word. Thank You and trust You for that. And we love You and thankful for Your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross. And pray, Lord, now that You would just use Your Word to work in the hearts and lives of everyone here today. And we'll thank You for that. And we love You. In Your name. Amen.